Christmas can be a time for guilty pleasures. And so with my family, I went to see Star Wars. Great film, no, but fun. I was struck, though, as I was watching the film and in thinking about it afterward, about two characters that really did so much in terms of the movement of the film. Not beings, as it were, but atmosphere. Darkness and light. Now, this wasn't just the old films from the cowboys, white hats and black hats, but the battle of light and darkness, that ancient symbol that certainly was there in abundance throughout that film, especially at climactic moments. But an unequal fight, oh so unequal, because darkness is just but absence, and light, even in just the flicker, brings presence and hope. Today, the imagery of light pervades our readings. When you think of that wonderful call from Isaiah, "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem," and one of the phrases is "glow." Your light has come. The glory of God, of the Lord, shines upon you. We have also in the gospel the image of the star in the midst of the dark night shining, bright enough to stand out among all others, greater than the darkness of the night, greater than all others. This is a star that the gospel tells us brings joy at its appearing. That sense that the East talks about, the gladsome light that brings to us that sense of what might be possible. And yet there is an asymmetry to this story, as it were. As magnificent as the star is in this account of Matthew, it pales. It loses its significance completely before this child. We don't know exactly the age of the child, but before this child who is light, who is the fullness of light, the child who comes to bring light to the world. And before that, they know to worship. Where they might be overjoyed by the star, before this child and the light who he is, all else falls silent in a moment of adoration. And all of this, whether in Isaiah or in Matthew, takes place against the background of a darkness that is so very different. Isaiah talks about the darkness that covers the earth and the thick clouds that cover the peoples, and the fear that can be there. And we have that dark reality of Herod's Jerusalem, where not only Herod, but all of the others are troubled by the news, rather than overcome by the possibility, the joy of the light. And yet, in the midst of all of that reality, people, Isaiah says that people will walk in the light of Jerusalem. And here Matthew sets up the basic theme for his whole gospel of the way in which that light will come to pervade the world and become a sign to the nations, a place of salvation. Throughout these readings today, an important element is that God's glory, God's light, pervades all of created reality through this star or through that sense of the new Jerusalem in the first reading. And in the Eastern Church, which also celebrates this feast, this is linked with the wedding feast in Cana and water turned to wine and the baptism in the Jordan where water makes things new. All of reality is pervaded by that light and glory of God. It is certainly in the star. It is especially in the child whose manifestation we celebrate today, who comes to gather all of the nations into a new age, as Ephesians said, to make us aware that we are members, all of us, of one body in the light of that star and especially of that child. But there is a danger with this feast, and especially, remember, this is the beginning of Matthew's gospel, that the reality of the creation pervaded by light can lead us to focus only on the child. Important as that is, in fact, this child whom we will celebrate is light from light. This is the one who will be, in fact, the source of our salvation. But as Matthew raises that question of light, even at the beginning, remember, he is going to remind us as Jesus begins his ministry in the Sermon on the Mount that we are meant to be that light, that the light that dawns in the person of Jesus Christ is meant to call us to be that same reality in our world, like the child. As this child gathers people from all over, from the Magi, from the East, wherever they might be, and pushes aside whatever darkness might seek to divide and foreclose, so too the call of this gospel, as we become heirs to this child, as we become light to the world, is that we are meant like the star to beckon, to summon, to receive, to bring joy, even in the midst of a world that seeks to divide or that too often provokes darkness or fear. We are heirs of this child. And the Church in Vatican II reminded us that personally and together, we are meant to be Lumen Gentium, light to the world. And that gathers, that is so much a part of who we are. That the call to us is not simply to be good, or even somehow to be pure, but to be light. Light in our world. Light that beckons. Light that receives. Light that gives joy. That takes on a special significance, I think, for us as Catholics in the United States in this week and, in fact, in this month. As you will see in the bulletin, this is the month in which we, in fact, celebrate National Migration Week. We are called by our bishops to promote a church and a world for all people. In the face of so many forces in our world that seek to divide or exclude, in face of so many voices often in our own church that seek to create an us versus them, how are we called to be that people of welcome? And not only of welcome in that kind of passive sense, all right, you know, if you come, we welcome you, but who beckon, who become that light in the darkness that, in fact, inspires people to move, to come, to see that presence that overjoys us, a joy we seek to give to others. It is too easy for us to simply bemoan the darkness, or at times to take up the arms against darkness as if somehow that promotes anything. But perhaps the greatest witness we have is that in our daily lives, we commit ourselves to be light, to think about those ways in which we become the bearers of Christ's invitation to others, in which, in the face of divisions or in the face of exclusions, instead we see ourselves called to be that gladsome light for the world. What light does God bid us shine today? What light does God bid us shine in our daily lives, in our families, and in our workplaces? Because the call to us is to make real what the Psalm said today, that every nation on earth may adore the God revealed in Jesus Christ, the God who seeks to make us all one family, one family united in the joy of this Christ. Can we imagine ourselves as that sign? Dare we think of ourselves as light for the world, for the peoples? May God grant us this day not only to celebrate the child whose birth is celebrated by the star and who is himself light, but to become in his image light and joy for our world, a beckoning and welcoming presence in a world where too often darkness covers the earth, and where God sends us as apostles.